The plan of salvation is easy as can be, if the scriptures are rightly divided. Otherwise, it's far from simple and easy to understand. For example, here's a tract that says we must be water baptized to be saved, and another one that says we must observe God's Sabbath day, and another one that says we must speak in tongues, and another one that says we must repent of our sin. And it goes on and on. But the Bible itself contains the key to seeming confusion. And today we're going to take that key and unlock those treasures in the message of grace.
The message of grace is brought to you by Christian people who believe the Bible to be the Word of God and who appreciate its power and authority. Within the pages of the Bible itself, there is a God-given design for its study. Rightly dividing the Word of Truth is the key to understanding the Bible. We're glad you've joined us for another interesting look into God's infallible book as Richard Jordan, president of Grace School of the Bible, presents another in a series of messages designed to help you understand and enjoy the Bible. Let's join them now.
We're glad you've joined us today, and we hope that our study together will be a real blessing and help to you. We want to talk today about the issue of salvation. Somebody said, it's easy to be saved. And yes, it is, my friend, it is indeed easy to be saved. God's made it so. The Bible says that God has given His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be a ransom for all men. In all ages, for all sin, for all time. God has done everything necessary to make salvation easy, make it possible, make it a present possession of everyone that would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. But there's a lot more to the issue of salvation than just simply to say it's easy to be saved and to go on. There's a lot more to it than just saying that it's easy. And I'd like you to see that as we look at the Bible. Get 1 Timothy chapter 2 in one hand and Matthew chapter 20 in the other. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and Matthew chapter 20. You know, folks, when you begin to study the Bible, you find out that there's a great deal of difference between what people say about what the Bible teaches and what people say about the Bible than there is and when you begin to read the Bible itself and find out what it really says. I was on an airplane one time traveling across this great country of ours, and I sat next to a man, young man, from another country. He was here touring the United States, and as we began to talk, I began to try to talk with him about his soul. And he said, oh, the Bible, I don't know much about the Bible. I just know it's it's full of myths and got a lot of mistakes in it. And I said, well, that's interesting. I know that an intelligent man like you, a man who'd received his medical degree in another country and was going to, before he started his medical practice, was touring the United States to see our country. I said, an intelligent young man like you, obviously intelligent, thoughtful, surely you wouldn't condemn the Bible without having read it. Surely you'd know some of those mistakes. How about share with me what you think the mistakes in the Word of God are? And he said, well, I really don't know what they are. I don't know where any are. I just know there must be some there. It's just an old, ancient, mythological book. Well, you know, that's kind of a sad kind of a commentary. Here's an intelligent person that wouldn't diagnose a case in his surgical profession. He wouldn't have diagnosed a case like that. He'd have done all the research he could and found out exactly what the problem was and found out what the solution to the problem, the cure, seemed to be. But yet he's willing to dismiss the Word of God without even a hearing. You know what you find when you study the Bible? You find there aren't any mistakes. You know, I've got in front of me a King James Bible. There are not any mistakes in a King James Bible. I've heard people say they are, but you know, I never saw any. A man asked me one time, said, do you believe there are any mistakes in the King James Bible? My answer to him is my answer to you. I never saw one. I've seen people say they are, but I've never seen anybody put one up, bring it to me, show it to me, and say they are. I tell you what, my phone number will be on the screen at the end of this program. My address will be on the screen at the end of this program. My name's Richard Jordan. And if you know of a mistake in the Word of God, you know of a mistake in a King James Bible, why don't you take my phone number down or take my address down and help me out. Send it to me and let me check you out, find out whether or not you're right or not. Now, I say that to say this. There's a lot of difference, my friend, between just saying something and making it so. And just to say that salvation is easy, and that's a nice thing to say, and I know people say it, and I say that. But when you begin to study the Bible, all of a sudden you begin to wonder, is it really so easy? Let me show you what I mean. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, the Apostle Paul says that there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. In other words, Jesus Christ, Paul said, gave himself at Calvary. When he died at Calvary, he died as a payment, a sacrifice for the sins of all men. And yet in Matthew chapter 20, verse number 26 and 28, Jesus said, this is before he died, while he was on the earth, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. Now, wait a minute. Christ said he's going to die for many. That's a lot of folks. Paul said he's going to die for all. That's everybody. Well, Matthew 26, the night before he died, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his conversation with his apostles in the upper room, just in the nighttime before he went to die the next day, he tells them about the communion service, and he institutes the Lord's Supper, and he says unto them, this is my blood. This represents my blood, taking the cup. This represents my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Now notice, he sheds his blood for many for the remission of sins. Well then, it's obvious that Jesus Christ thought he was dying for many. Paul, on the other hand, said he's dying for everybody. You say, well, maybe the many is everybody. Well, go back with me to Isaiah chapter number 53. Isaiah 53. The way you study the Bible, folks, there are two things to remember when you study the Bible. Number one, let the words on the page in a Bible that you read, get you a King James Bible, let the words on the page that you read, let that be the authority. Let that be what tells you what to believe. Let that be what decides the questions. You know, when you read a verse in the Bible, you don't have to pray about it, just believe what it says. You don't have to wonder whether or not maybe you should believe that, just believe what God says. Isaiah 53, the great psalm about Jesus Christ's death, the great prophecy about it. If you ask anybody, where is the death of Christ in the Old Testament Scripture? They'll all say, Isaiah 53. That's where he says in verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone into his own way. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And that's wonderful. There's that all. All we've gone astray. He's laid on him the iniquity of us all. But verse 8, let's see who that all is there. Verse 8, he was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people was he stricken. Well, who are Isaiah's people? Why, they're not Americans. They weren't Pakistanis. They weren't Germans. They weren't Greeks. You know who they were? They were Israel. Isaiah was a member of the nation Israel, God's chosen people. And he says, for the transgressions of my people was he stricken. All we Israel have gone astray. All we Israel have had our iniquities laid upon him. When Jesus Christ said, I'm going to lay down my life for many. He said, this is my blood which is shed for many for the remission of sin. You know who he's talking about? Verse with verse in the Bible, he's talking about dying for the nation Israel. Well, if he thought and he said he was dying for the nation Israel, and the Apostle Paul comes along later on and says, no, there's one mediator between God and men, God and all men without distinction, all men without exception, and that mediator is Jesus Christ who gave himself a ransom for all men. That's everybody. Paul says in chapter 1 of 1 Timothy that this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, to save the world of sinners. Well, you say, well, how could Christ have thought he died just for Israel and Paul say he died for everybody? Well, the answer to that's in verse 6 here in 1 Timothy 2, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, whereunto I, Paul, am ordained a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. You see, folks, Paul was the due time testifier, not simply that Jesus died at Calvary for sins, the sins of Israel, But Paul is the due time testifier to proclaim the wonderful fact that Jesus Christ, when he died at Calvary, didn't die just for a few people, but he died for all men without any exception, and all men without any distinction between them. That's why Paul said, I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. Paul is the initiator of the grace of God to the Gentiles, and he says that this message that Christ Jesus gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Paul is the due time testifier of all that Jesus Christ has accomplished at Calvary for you and for me. You see, it's something that you've got to understand about the Word of God. God Almighty has had more than one purpose and more than one program in the Bible. There's a purpose that God had that focuses in the nation Israel, His earthly kingdom nation. And God has provided through Jesus Christ redemption for the nation Israel. He's provided that they be redeemed from their iniquity and that they be established in the earth as a kingdom of priests, just as He promised them. But God also had another purpose. God had that purpose with the nation Israel, a purpose which He's made known by the mouth of all His holy prophets since the world began. But He's also had another purpose, a purpose that Paul said He kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. And it has to do with the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of what Paul calls the mystery, the secret purpose of God. Just as God had a purpose in the nation Israel, just as He sent Jesus Christ to die and to redeem the nation Israel so that they then could accomplish His purposes in the earth, so God Almighty had a purpose for another agency, another people who He would call to be His own, that is the church, the body of Christ. And just as Christ died for Israel to provide their redemption and provide for them to receive the blessings and to accomplish the purposes God has for them, so it is, Jesus Christ has died for the sins of all the world in order that God might out of the Gentiles call another people, the church, the body of Christ, and form a spiritual body of believers made up of believing sinners of every stripe and every hue. That's why He says in chapter 1, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first, get that now, Paul says that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting. You know where God has placed your pattern for salvation? He didn't place it back in the Old Testament. He didn't place it in the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't place your pattern on the day of Pentecost and the 12 apostles and Peter and the rest of them. You know where He put your pattern? He put your pattern and my pattern, the pattern of our salvation, in the Apostle Paul. Howbeit for this cause, Paul said, I obtained mercy that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting. You know, the Apostle Paul is given by the Lord Jesus Christ as the pattern for salvation in the dispensation of grace. You see, the reason one of those verses says He's going to die just for Israel and the other passage says He dies for all men is that God has a twofold purpose. God has a purpose to establish through the nation Israel a kingdom, make them a kingdom of priests and establish His authority in the earth. But God also has a purpose through the church, the body of Christ. And the Apostle Paul is the initiator. He's the one that Jesus Christ has committed that message, that new program, the new dispensation, the new revelation, the new purpose, and the new message through. Paul says, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God that's given to me, to you, how that by revelation He made known unto me the mystery, how that by revelation Jesus Christ made known to me this secret, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men. That's why, you see, it's new with Paul. Jesus Christ from heaven's glory gives it to Paul to give to us, and that's the standard and the pattern of God's salvation program today. That's why, when you go back, for example, to John the Baptist, somebody says, preacher, what must I do to be saved? Well, there are people in the Bible that ask that question. Oddly enough, or maybe not, it's not odd, it's interestingly enough, they get different answers. Now, hey, folks, if it's easy to be saved and it's all the same in every age and all you got to do is what anybody ever had to do, you got a problem. In Luke chapter 3, verse number 10, the people asked John, saying, What shall we do then? What must we do to be saved? In view of the coming wrath of God that he's just told them about. He answered and said unto them, He that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none, and he that hath meat, let him do likewise. Then came the publicans to be baptized, and said unto him, Master, what shall we do? And he said unto them, Extract no more than that which is appointed of you. And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, What shall we do? And then he said unto them, Do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. And as the people were in expectation, all men mused in their hearts of John whether he was the Christ or not. You see, folks, they come to John and they ask him, What must I do to be saved? And he gave them some rather different answers than what you hear today, didn't he? But that didn't all. In Matthew chapter 19, a young man came to the Lord Jesus Christ and he asked him the same question. John told him, What you got to do is you got to start doing what God's telling you to do. And he gave him precepts and responsibilities that Christ gave and echoed in the Sermon on the Mount. He basically said, do the Sermon on the Mount. And Christ in the Sermon on the Mount gives the characteristics of the citizens of His kingdom. Have the lifestyle of a citizen of the kingdom, John is saying. Luke chapter 19. Our Lord is asked the same question, What must I do to be saved? Luke 19, verse 16, Behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that is God. In other words, the first thing he had to do was to admit that Jesus Christ was God. But if thou wilt enter into life, that isn't enough, he said. Keep the commandments. If you want to go into life, into the kingdom, keep the commandments. And he said, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the young man said unto him, All these have I kept from my youth up, what lack I yet? There's a man done all these things and still lacking. Jesus said unto him, If you want to be perfect, go and sell that you have and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Go sell everything you got. You know what the Lord Jesus Christ said? You want to have eternal life? You want to be saved? Number one, believe I'm God. Number two, keep all the commandments. And number three, sell everything you got and come follow me. Now, it was necessary to do those things in addition to acknowledging that Christ was God. Not just believe He was God and do those things, but if you wanted to get in, you had to do all of that. Acknowledge He's God and do all the other things. Gets a little interesting, doesn't it? Come with me to Acts chapter number 2. In Acts 2, Peter is asked the same question. In Acts chapter 2, verse number 37, after Peter has explained what's happened in the coming of the Holy Spirit and why those apostles and that little flock were speaking in tongues and why the nation Israel was hearing the Word of God proclaimed in its own language by all these different men, Peter explains that God raised his son from the dead, set him at his own right hand, and poured out the Holy Spirit. And the coming of the Holy Spirit was a witness and a testimony to the fact that God had raised Christ from the dead, that he was Israel's Messiah, and that God was going to send him back and make his enemies his footstool. The leaders of that nation came to him, and they said in verse 37, they were cut to their heart. They got under conviction, and they said, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's clear. Somebody says, Well, he really didn't mean that. He meant exactly what he said. Peter says, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. That is, because of the remission of sins that you will get. When you repent and be baptized, you'll be able to get these sins remitted when Jesus Christ comes back. Chapter 3, verse number 19. He says in verse 18, But those things which God before has showed by the mouth of all His prophets that Christ should suffer, He has so fulfilled. Repent you therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. Notice, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and He shall send Jesus whom the heaven must receive till the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets since the world began. Get this now, will you? Peter says, Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Why would he have said that? He said that because Jesus Christ told him told the apostles, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Peter understood what his commission is. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, is filled with the Holy Spirit of God. He goes out and interprets under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, infallibly interprets his commission, and he says, repent you therefore and be converted. Change your mind about who Jesus Christ, who you think he is. Change your mind and believe that he's Messiah, and be baptized in his name for the remission of sins. You'll get your sins remitted when Jesus comes back. And if you don't, you won't. Now, you know, folks, all that message, all those messages are consistently, they're consistent with one another in that they look forward to and they have to do with the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom. But you know, when you come over to the Apostle Paul, he's asked that same question, what must I do to be saved, in Acts 16:30. The Philippian jailer comes and says, what must I do to be saved? And he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Well, where's the works? Where's the treat your neighbor right? Where's the keep the commandments? Where's the be baptized for the remission of sins so your sins will be blotted out when he comes back? It isn't there. In fact, the works that were previously required of people in order to be saved, Paul specifically says God doesn't want anymore. Romans chapter 4, verse number 4. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Romans 4:5. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. Get a hold of that. God imputes righteousness. God gives his perfect, sinless righteousness without works. Today. That's Paul's message. That's that other message. That's the message that's sent out not just to Israel. That's not the message given to Israel to establish his kingdom, a priest who would bring forth the lifestyle of the kingdom. But rather, that's the message that's sent out to lost sinners today of every stripe and hue. People just like you, people just like me, out there in the nations, out there in the world, people listening to this television program today. Sinners that need a Savior. Every kind, good, bad, medium-sized, big, little, indifferent. Up-and-outers, down-and-outers. Sinners that need to be saved. God imputing His righteousness. God giving us His righteousness without works, without any effort on our part. By grace you are saved through faith, that not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You say, what right did Paul have to change the program? What right did Paul have to come along and change the message? He had no right at all, except that God Himself changed the program. I have no right to change things, except God has changed it. And you know, my friend, He has. That's why Paul says that he's the due time testifier of all that God has accomplished through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know there are people that question Paul's apostleship. They did back here in Timothy. He said, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not. I'm an apostle and a preacher and a teacher of the Gentiles. People said, Paul's a fake. Paul's a phony. But my friend, the fact is that Paul is the one that God Almighty has given as your messenger and as our messenger, the one through whom He's given the message for us today. And it's Paul who's the due time testifier of all that Christ has accomplished at Calvary. And that's what makes salvation simple. When you realize that what God's doing today is something very special and very unique, that He set aside the nation Israel, and that it's through the fall of Israel that salvation's come to the Gentiles. And it's through God setting aside Israel and Israel's program and Israel's apostles and introducing a new dispensation called the dispensation of the grace of God with a new apostle, the Apostle Paul. I speak to you Gentiles inasmuch as I'm the apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify my office, Paul said. He's God's spokesman for us today. And when you obey what God's word is to us through Him, and you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, God imputes His righteousness to our accounts without any of our works, and then you too can know the blessedness of the man whose sins are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute iniquity, because Jesus Christ died as a ransom for all. Would you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ today? Would you cut through all the religious tommy rot and jargon and confusion? Would you trust Him today as your Savior? Oh, my friend, if you will, God that instant will save you, place you in His Son, give you His righteousness, bless you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, and make you complete in Him. Till next time, Maranatha.
Thank you, Brother Jordan, for that message from the Word of God. Friends, we have a cassette tape that we'd like you to have to go along with today's study. The tape is entitled Justification, Grace, and Redemption. It's yours free of charge. It's our way of saying thanks for listening. We'll be happy to see that you receive your free copy along with a free subscription to our monthly Bible study, The Grace Journal. If you simply write us here at The Message of Grace, the address should be on your screen. That's The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. If you prefer, you can also call us during normal business hours at area code 708-529-0520. Request the tape, Justification, Grace, and Redemption. The Message of Grace is a ministry of Grace School of the Bible, and we're glad you've been with us today. We trust our study together has been a help to you. And friend, if you are still not sure of salvation, that your sins are forgiven and that you have eternal life as a present possession, let us know and we'll be happy to send you some gospel literature that will show you the way. That address again is The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. Thanks for being with us today, and God's best until we meet next time for another Message of Grace.